What do you get when they're all mean? I don't know. Q's in a pod.
Q's in a pod. Where? Who's the guy who played Q?
John DeLancey.
All right, John DeLancey. Apparently, John DeLancey was getting like fan mail about like how good he was in My Little Pony. He's like, what the fuck is this? Was I in My Little Pony? And he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he didn't remember, and now he's like, I'm beloved by these people.
Right, right. Like, he filmed the lines, and then they used them, like, a year later or something.
Yeah, and he completely forgot, because he's doing other things.
So, which means...
To be fair, he's playing Discord, who is awesome.
Is a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
Who apparently has some sort of bizarre crush on the quiet pony.
Why is that bizarre?
Because they're not the same species, even a little bit. He doesn't even have, like, a pony part.
Right. Or the same age, even. Like, right. There's no way...
He's eternal.
But she has animal talking powers, and he is a collection of various bits of animals.
But there's still no way for that to be, like, like a healthy relationship.
No.
Like
hey Fluttershot, I got an animal part you should talk to. Get a little closer. Yeah. I'm not hung like a pony, I'll tell you that.
Remember that time we went to the store and we bought two cakes instead of one cake? It was so fun.
That's like a line from it. That happened.
Oh, see, I couldn't tell if that was something that actually happened because it could be something that would actually
happen. Tell them about that awesome time when we went to the store to get a cake and we bought two cakes.
So is that like his I'm a good guy now version of chaos?
Yeah.
Like, oh, slightly disorder your plans.
Well, and then he gets, like, then that pony befriends a hippie pony that has... I said white girl dreads, but Amber pointed out that she was green. But the same concept.
Yeah, especially when you hear her talk.
Yeah. I know people like that.
So on a completely unrelated to anything note, I've decided to weigh in on the white girl dreads question. And I think the only time that they don't bug me is when it's, like, you know, lady fighters and the UFC. Because, like... That makes sense.
I don't know. Like, I only knew one person, I think, that had them, and she was cool. Like, yeah. I don't know enough about dreads to weigh in on the issue, but I think it can look fine no matter what color you are.
Well, the issue isn't really, like, how they look, necessarily.
Cultural appropriation.
It's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Are we even allowed to call them dreads? Isn't that an offensive term?
Really? I don't know.
It's one of those, like, it depends on who you ask.
Right, because
my thing is, like, I don't know enough about dreads to make an opinion. But at the same time, I think it looks fine. And I know that, like, there are hygienic reasons, I think, that you might do it.
There are some people who are more prone to having dreadlockable hair.
Yeah.
And, like, the funny thing, of course, is, like, going from my experience... I mostly, if you said dreadlocks, I would immediately think of, you know, hippies and whatnot.
Like, whereas, you know, if you're like Jamaican, right. But it's like, I don't know.
In the American brain, Jamaican translates differently than you know, African-American person living across the street.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's because of Bob Marley.
Yeah, that's actually who I picture.
Like, that's the entire reason.
But yeah. Also,
so
like
the podcast where we're all white. I'm the whitest of the three, but...
Somehow.
Yeah.
I know...
How are you more white than me?
Aren't you Hispanic?
Maybe an itty-bitty bit.
I'm not Hispanic, as far as I know. Okay.
I mean, I'm Tanner.
I have a brief digression based on that. Do you know the site 23andMe?
No.
They do, like, genetic testing. And
Yeah,
they're the ones that will explain, like, oh, you know, you are this percentage Cherokee, that sort of thing. Apparently, they have, like, an API. Is it, like, appy? But they have some computer application. Yeah. And it was an open source thing. And some guy's like, oh, well, then I can make it. So my website says you're not white enough to be on my website. And so he put that out into the ether. Like, he didn't specifically do it. But he's like, yeah, I mean... You know, if you have your genetic information on your computer, maybe there's dating sites where, you know, black singles, maybe they don't want white people looking at their website.
Yeah, you do already have, like very segregated sort of dating communities.
Yeah,
and,
farmers only.
Christian singles, which comes up in my spam a lot for some reason.
Yeah. I know J-Date, they really, they want Jewish on J-Date.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 23andMe people are like, well, we're shutting you down. You're banned. There's no way you wanted to be used like that, Junior Hitler.
Right.
So they slam that down pretty fast.
Which, you know, is, like, I can understand that. They did the work, although if they released it, they had to have known that. It's like art. Once you release it, you have to assume that, you know, everybody else is going to take it however they're going to take it. You don't really get to control that anymore.
Why do people have their genetic information on their laptop?
It's probably part of the program, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I think
so
you can
the only
opt
way
in.
You'd be able to do that is if you were doing the 23 thing.
Yeah, yeah. You can opt in to, like, have that. It's like a cookie that would follow you. But right. I'm sure if you went to the site and you didn't have that enabled, they'd be like, we can't determine your racial heritage. You can't use this website.
Weird.
Right. You know, oh, you're not white enough to use
How
this website.
How do they get your genetic information?
You give it to them and you pay for it. You give them a sample of your blood or saliva. I don't really know. And then they
get genetically tested.
It's like $99, so we can totally do that for you.
And there are a lot of reasons that you might
want to
do that.
I don't know if I'm related to that guy. Who everyone's related to.
Genghis Khan.
There we go.
Probably.
Just probably. Close enough.
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm related to a panda.
You're not closely related to
a
panda.
You are, but not
Did you
closely.
Know humans, monkeys, and guinea pigs can't synthesize vitamin C, but everything else can.
I found that fishy. So you're saying like a giraffe can synthesize vitamin C?
Yeah. Like it has like...
Is that why Dan
Harmon
hates them?
Maybe.
Probably, yeah.
But why guinea pigs? Like, I understand humans
because
and monkeys.
Because fuck guinea
but
pigs.
But why guinea pigs?
Look, the tree exists. You can go look it up and see where the branches, you know, or where the paths branched. But
I guess. But then other things, like chinchillas can make their own vitamin C, but...
On a tangentially related topic, apparently there was a... supposed ape woman in, I'm going to say Russia, but it's not Russia, near, I think, Georgia? What
yeah,
became
Georgia?
Georgia? And so they found this naked, what they assumed to be a Neanderthal sort of woman, like a living woman.
Mm-hmm.
Unclothed, I want to emphasize that. And so they're like, well then, you come with us, Xana the ape woman. And so she lived in this village, and she ended up bearing many children by local townspeople. She was like 6 feet tall. She was burly. She slept outside all year round. Again, I want to emphasize, like, in a place where it's cold. She would just dig a little hole and she would huddle down in that. And apparently men found that intoxicating. And so they hit that.
She was also naked the whole time.
Right? Naked the whole time. She refused to come inside and she refused to wear clothing. And so they're like, ah, perhaps Dr. Brian Sykes, who is a real doctor... I forget the name of the book. I'll try to find it and link it in the show notes. But there was suspicion that she was perhaps, like, descended from Neanderthal. Like, that she was closely related, you know. Basically, that she was an ape woman. And so I guess he did mitochondrial DNA tests on the teeth of her children, who let him.
Right.
Because I guess teeth are very good for genetic testing. And her children, like descendants of the children, mitochondrial DNA comes from the mother. It was the best way to do it. And the answer is no, she was not part Neanderthal, but she was African. And they're like, but it wasn't like the exodus that everyone sort of populated Europe and such from. It's like it was a separate exodus, and we were not really sure when. And I'm like, so basically you had a black woman living in a hole that people had sex with? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that kind of changes like the context of the story a little.
Does it? I mean, I was listening for a while. And I'm like,
who is probably like had some sort of mental issue, maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's quite the story, but you know that she was presumed to be an ape woman. It was sort of like in the context of Bigfoot research that Dr. Brian Sykes, who I want to emphasize, is a real doctor. He's well-known and esteemed in his field. And I think the whole book's about that, but the story about Xana. I think her name was Xana.
Hmm.
But anyways, back to our movie-based topic.
Yes.
That's right.
So the topic tonight, despite the fact that we've been talking about dreadlocks and ape women, is about bad movies.
Oh, that's how we got to it.
How did we get to it?
Because of the cues thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got distracted for about 10 minutes. We do that. Mm-hmm. That's why you listen to this podcast, right, single listener?
We know you're out there.
Yeah.
We believe in you.
Woot, woot, woot. Yeah, yeah. Y'all. Yeah,
okay.
Edit that out.
So, shall we begin by... We all like bad movies, right?
Yeah.
What is enjoyable about a bad movie, Amber?
I don't know.
You don't know, do you?
I like them. They're funny.
Unintentional comedy.
Unintentional comedy.
Yeah.
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 And I think you were saying that, well, I feel that you can't intentionally make a bad movie. This is the Troll 2 premise, where I'm sure they were setting out to make a bad movie. And I can enjoy Troll 2.
I feel you could do
joyless.
It, but it would take a lot of studying bad movies and a lot of, like, very deliberate things. And I see why you think that would ruin it, but I think someone could, like, sincerely make a bad movie on purpose.
As a counterpoint, I'd like to bring up the case of The House That Drips Blood on Alex.
I haven't seen it.
It's like a 15-minute follow-up for Tommy Wiseau, who, of course, is the god of bad movies, and he intentionally was trying to make it bad, and it's terrible.
But, like, that's... He can't intentionally make a bad movie. You see, but I think, like, someone could...
Well, but can you think of any examples, I guess?
See,
of, like...
because we
Well,
have...
the thing is, like, that person would have to be good at making good movies, so they probably wouldn't be intentionally making a bad movie.
Shoot, yeah, because, like of course, the immediate example that pops to mind is the Sharknado movie.
Yeah, Sharknado, the whole Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
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 Where they mistake, like, oh, we have really good Twitter PR, and think that means people actually like it, even though... They really didn't.
Well, I read a Cracked article, which I will link in the show notes, that talks all about how they pre-sell those movies. It's like, we would like a movie about techno Bigfoot. Okay, write that script. But, like, they pre-sell the movie. Like, they have someone who's like, all right, I'm willing to put money toward that movie existing. And then it gets made. But if they're not interested enough, or, like, they'll have, it's sort of like a five-word, like, we want Dripper Ninja Nazis. And that's it. Give me that movie.
Nah.
And if they can pre-sell that, the movie gets made. Otherwise, the movie does not.
I haven't watched enough sci-fi original movies.
They're all shitty, terrible.
They are.
I watched...
Like, not even joyful.
And that is the problem. Because
they have to be joyful.
I think so. And I think that's it. You need the sincerity. I love The Room. I read the book... Oh, I can't remember the name now.
Disaster Artist?
Yes, The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero, and I think probably heavily edited by another writer. Otherwise, Greg Sestero was a brilliant lyric. Like, he should write more, because that book is honestly beautiful. Like, if that were a novel, it would be among my favorite novels.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good... Please buy it, listener. Trust me on this one.
They're making a movie of it, too.
They are. I believe James Franco is playing Tom Wiseau. And I will love that movie.
I can't actually picture James Franco in my head, but just the idea of somebody playing Tommy Wiseau is hilarious.
And it's so hard, because Tommy Wiseau playing Tommy Wiseau is just so bizarre.
Right. Like he just can't do his own lines that he wrote himself.
Yeah. But my feeling... Okay, I think a bad movie can't be a comedy to be enjoyable. Because then they're like, you're laughing with me, and you're like, I'm not laughing with you.
Right, because it's easy to forget that The Room is intended to be a drama.
Yeah.
Like, a straight-up serious drama.
Although what's interesting is both Tommy Wiseau and Nicolas Cage for The Wicker Man are like, no, it's supposed to be a black comedy! Because people were taking it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, people were laughing at you. It's easy to be like, yes, I was in on the joke the whole time. But both of them went for that same technique.
Yeah.
And I like Tommy Wiseau because he doubled down. Like, he goes to showings of The Room.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, this is what I am now. I can't do his accent. No one can do his accent. Well,
right. It's unplaceable.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that, though. It can't start as a comedy, and it can't start as a horror either.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, because I think bad horror is just a separate genre.
That's true.
I mean?
Like, there's
like,
a different type of bad horror
just
movie.
Bad. Like,
yeah.
It's funny, sort of, but it's just, like...
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Isn't that kind of the same as like it being a drama and then actually ending up funny because it's, you know, just kind of laughable?
Yeah, but like, I think it's different. Because a bad horror, a lot of what's funny is like how bad the costumes are or like how fake things are. So I think it wouldn't have, like if you were intentionally making a bad movie, you couldn't start with either a comedy or a horror.
I don't know. I agree with the comedy since I'm the one who
said
that.
Why don't you agree with the horror?
Because I think that there are plentiful bad horror movies that are hilarious to watch.
Yeah, but I think, like, I feel like it's different. There are a lot of bad horror movies. It's not going to raise into the ranks of bad movies that are funny.
Oh, like a classically bad... Yes. All right. So there can be funny bad horror movies, but it won't be among the best bad movies. Okay. I accept that. I really think it has to be, like, contrary to the emotion that they want.
Mm.
Because if you are scared by a bad horror movie, then it's just a horror movie.
Right. Yeah, because isn't that, often argued to be the basis of comedy is the subversion of expectation.
Exactly. Mm. Very well put.
Yeah.
Even, like, Tiptoes.
Tiptoes, I'm glad you brought it up. Amber, could you please give us an overview of Tiptoes?
Tiptoes is about this lady... Who's an actress? What's her name?
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale.
I don't know her name in the movie.
Is with this guy.
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. Who's in way too many.
Is it Thor?
No. That's the All Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's in pretty much so many romantic
comedies. Yes. Hollywood humps all look the same to me.
On the covers, he has a hard time standing up. He has to lean against his co-stars on the cover. I think he's in True Detective now. I haven't watched True Detective.
But so, like, just putting him in, you should think this is a romantic comedy. Right. But I'm not sure where they were going with it. But anyways, so they have sex. She gets pregnant. We find out there's this chance that her baby might be a little person.
Aren't all babies little people?
Might have dwarfism.
Ah.
Because the entirety of Matthew McConaughey's family, except for him, are little people. People with dwarfism. Including our most favorite little people actors. Including...
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage is marvelous because he's making fun of the movie. I'm confident on that. He plays like a drunk
porn
Frenchman.
Star.
Bridget the Midget.
Bridget the Midget, she's in it too.
Who the other guy whose name I should remember because he was in Willow and everything.
Warwick Davis is not in the movie.
Wait, really?
He is the only one not.
Holy shit. All right.
And what is especially upsetting is I can think of a perfect role for Warwick Davis. He could play the twin brother of Matthew McConaughey, who does play the twin brother.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman's not a little person, Amber.
I think he is, Tom. I think he is in Tiptoes.
Do they use really good special effects to make him look like a little person?
No, he walks on his knees, and apparently sometimes with a body double, and is often staged behind things.
Yes, although, now I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen enough of it to know that
you can actually just see his legs.
Yes, there's one part where he is walking on his knees, and in the foreground is a glass coffee table, and then you just see him walking on his knees behind it. So, you mentioned that you don't really know what they're going for, because partially it seems like a romantic comedy, then it seems like an issues film about, you know, little people and birth and...
And then, like, they were going to get married, but they broke up, and now, basically, she's living... At the end, she's living with Gary Oldman and has a baby, who did turn out to be a little person.
It's true.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and what's weird in the movie is it at first, Matthew McConaughey's like, little people are just normal people. Like, my whole family's little people, and I love them all. There's nothing wrong. Oh my god, my baby might be a midget, kill it. Like, he switches motivation entirely.
Yeah.
He punches...
goes from, like, educating her about their culture and how awesome it is, to deciding that they're the scum of the earth.
Right, and then she has to tell him things.
Wow.
It does feature Kate Beckinsale saying my favorite line in any movie, which she says sincerely, a circle jerk of midgets, I'd love to see that.
But you see how I don't understand... Have they made this movie thinking it was seriously anything?
If you ever watch the trailer, there's a part where it says, and in the role of a lifetime, Gary Oldman.
Yeah, man, if ever there was like a poster child for appropriation, like a movie full of famous little people actors And then the lead role goes to fucking Gary Oldman,
who it's true
is amazing,
and he's not remotely the same age. Or like, oh, because of his liver being a little person, he ages fast,
and he like has to walk wonky.
Wonky's acceptable.
He's wonky.
Let's say derpy.
I don't know. I think I like derpy too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
He walks wonky.
He walks wonky. He's like a hunchback. I think
He looks like he's intentionally trying to be disabled to hide the fact, like, they're making him walk disabled to hide the fact that he does not have the proportions of a little person.
Right, which, you know, I'm sure is immediately obvious to anybody watching it.
Yeah.
Like, shit, John Leguizamo has done things, but, like, he's freakishly tall, but, yeah, he's like 6 feet or something.
I had no idea.
But he played... There was a really awful Spawn movie in the 90s, and he played this character that was only, like, you know, 4 feet tall, so he had to do that whole thing on his things. But in that case, he was playing a demonic clown from hell, who was, like, fat, and it was mostly a bodysuit. So, you know, there are contexts in which that sort of thing might make sense, but no, if you just have a dude walking around on his knees, like, you might as well hire an 8-year-old and, you know.
It's so strange.
Put him in big boy clothes.
Yeah, and it is funny because it is so, like, off-target. They also there was definitely supposed to be a subplot where Matthew McConaughey, who I think his job is that he's a trainer for firemen, is banging one of the trainees, but then they cut that out. So there's this weird tension that doesn't really go anywhere because they cut that subplot out.
Now, I do wonder if that was one of those cases where they filmed it one way and then for whatever reason decided they couldn't do it that way and then, like, edited it to hell and back.
Yeah. It's quite possible. And I think that is what happens often, is that, you know, you film one movie and then when it comes out, you're like, wait, what was that?
Right. Like, maybe somebody finally actually, like, watched it and read the script and was like, wait a minute, we can't make this.
No, this is really quick, offensive.
Damage control.
This is not an 80s movie. We can't do this.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if there's any way we could take a good movie that we have right now and take all the footage that's been shot and edit it into a bad movie.
Oh, I guarantee you can. That would be amazing. Actually, all you really have to do is watch, like, any two versions of Blade Runner.
I was thinking Blade Runner.
Yeah.
So you see, you can intentionally at least edit a bad movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, like Chris Hardwick has this thing where he likes to always talk about how it's impossible. Like if you tried to place odds on a good movie being made or any movie being made without being, like, absolutely horrible, it should be impossible because of the process that these things have to go through. Because, like... It apparently is really easy to film something, think it's going to be amazing, and then it gets into the editing room and, you know, it just falls apart because of the way they edit it. That is apparently just the nature of it. It's like you can take almost any footage, and if you, through the magic of editing and changing when things happen or, you know, changing when things cut to what, you can make it seem like anything else.
I have a good example of this. Not a bad movie. A really good movie. The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Yeah.
Where... the document, have you seen this?
Actually, I believe I have not seen that one.
It's very good. It's very entertaining if you get a chance. Listeners, I recommend this. But they definitely construct a narrative about how Steve Wiebe, our main character, he's supposed to be our hero, and then I forget the villain's name. But they make it seem like, you know, oh, that they're nemeses and, like, they're fighting. But they watch the movie and they're like, no, we're friends. We get along. But the way you edited that together makes it look like this narrative. Yeah. And they're like, we're good with it, honestly. Like, it's not the truth, but it's entertaining. Right. And I know that they went in, they're like, we're going to film a documentary about people who play video games. And then they filmed. And so I would say that 90% of that movie was cut out. So you just have this battle between these two guys because it's entertaining. But I know that there was a whole bunch of other footage. Other people who they filmed are on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
So you could take their footage and you could literally make other documentaries on the footage they did film. And then they're like, no, we're not going to pursue that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, now that I think about it, that is actually the entirety of, like, reality TV, is they, that's all they do, is they they edit it and, or they film it, and they always look for the moments that they can edit together to create whatever narrative they want. And it's shockingly easy to do that.
Yeah.
You just take somebody talking out of turn and have two separate conversations suddenly happen at the same time. And
yep.
That is true.
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay.
No, go on.
Also going to the magic of editing, I'm going to mention something that isn't a movie either, but our wedding video. Because we watched I had people watch the entirety of the horrible shot footage. And then afterwards we watched the bit that I had edited already. And people were like, you make it look so much better. I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Because the beginning's crap. But basically, you can make anything good as long as you're shortening it from like an hour to like 3 minutes.
Yeah, you just take out the good parts.
Yeah.
I know, apparently there were some reality TV show that involved like, kids taking over this village. And I read an article again on Cracked. I'll link it in the show notes if I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the producers would be like, this is your role in this. We'd like you to do this today. And there was one thing where all the kids are like, we won't do that. Like, we will not have a fight right now. We refuse. And the producers are like, well, you want to be in the show, right? And so they were trying to goad the kids. They would, like, mess things up. Like, they threw garbage everywhere. And the kids are like, no, we didn't do that. You guys did that. You tried to make it look a certain way. Dicks. So, yeah, that's through awesome. The magic of editing.
And they made it actually look like a mess? Or like they were
oh,
having?
Yeah, the producers, like, trucked in garbage.
Wow.
Yeah, where the kids had not... The kids were keeping it pretty clean. So they tried to create conflict. Bad
I'd
movies.
Like to see that reality TV show unedited, or like, not unedited,
but you
edited so you can see it like being the producers versus
oh yeah,
kids.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Lost in La Mancha. So Terry Gilliam wanted to create this, and this documentary shows exactly how it went wrong. So you can sort of see, like, you know, the star at one point is like, ah, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to leave Spain. I'm just going to hang out here for a while. And, like, the negotiations and, like, sandstorms coming in. And so the movie never got made.
It's a movie about how this one movie is apparently unfilmable.
Yeah.
Like, and they were trying to make the actual movie.
Yeah, and this was, like, the, you know...
Why did they decide that... Why, like, it was considered unfilmable before this, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, probably similar to, like, the reason Dune or Lord of the Rings was considered unfilmable. Like, it was probably just too big and had too much detail. And
yeah. I'm reading Don Quixote now. I'm reading a pretty good translation, a free one on the Kindle store. But it is definitely dense and... It's sort of like there's a lot of narration in it and a lot of, like, linguistic jokes that I know I'm missing.
Yeah.
And so I could see, like, if I filmed it the way it's supposed to be, I have a good example of this. The difference between the Stanley Kubrick version of Lolita and then there's a later version of Lolita. And the Stanley Kubrick one doesn't really follow what happens in the book, but it sort of has the right humorous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun to watch. And then there's a more recent one, I think starring Dominique Swain and Jeremy Irons. And it is more accurate to the book and kind of boring. Because Lolita's a really fun book about raping a child. But it is. You've read it, right?
No, it's a good movie.
No, I was reading John Hawke instead of reading
Nabokov.
I haven't seen any of the movies.
We'll have to watch them. But they're very different movies. But
yeah.
The Kubrick one definitely has more of the spirit of Nabokov.
Yeah. But no, I definitely recommend reading Lolita. Like, it's good.
Yeah, it really is. I put off reading it for a long time.
Personally, yeah, I should have read it earlier. Personally, I'm a huge fan, though, of unreliable narrators, and he's the king of unreliable narrators. Which, if you have read The Series of Unfortunate Events, which is a kid's series, you should definitely read Lolita. Because the narrator... No! When they wrote A Series of Unfortunate Events, he was intentionally making that narrator like Humbert in Lolita.
Wow.
So
and, like, it's
that.
Really obvious.
Yeah.
When, like, I'm like, because I was reading Lolita after I've read The Series of Unfortunate Events, I'm like, it just reminds me of The Series of Unfortunate Events, like, so much. And we Googled and it's intentional.
Yeah. Lemony Snicket, Daniel Handler, he wanted it to be that way.
And it works.
So,
of course, you haven't finished the series, so
that's fine.
You have to finish it, because there's
speaking
an awesome spoiler.
Speaking of bad movies and a series of unfortunate events, how do you feel about that one?
I didn't remember it that well.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I watched it before I read the books, So I thought it was okay, but not, like, good. Like, I wouldn't read the books based on what I saw in the movie.
Understandable.
But now that I've read the books, I haven't seen it again, but I'd like to.
Yeah, it's like, definitely not bad enough to be good. It has, okay.
It has, like, some interesting, from what I remember, it has some interesting, like, set pieces and stuff. Because their world is really interesting, like, weird. The main problem, though, is that they did combine the first three books into the movie. In, like, a weird
so
order.
So a reverse Hobbit?
Oh, God.
Sounds like
exactly.
A sexual position.
Right, yeah, no. The reverse Hobbit can be kind of dangerous if you don't do, like, like the Hobbit first. You really have to limber up.
But yeah, like, they just combined the first three books, which kind of makes sense. Like, it's just, the series gets so good later on, the first few books aren't really the best anyways.
Urban Dictionary does not have reverse Hobbit defined. Listeners,
get on it.
I welcome you to introduce it. Something right. About hairy feet.
Rule 34, that shit.
Or unhairy feet.
It's true.
Oh, that's true. Like, yeah, it could just be, you know, when
so
you
if you haven't read A Serious Unfortunate Events, I highly recommend it. There is a point in the middle that I got bored because I started finding it repetitive, but then it very quickly stopped being repetitive. So if you get stuck at a little point, like, just read a couple more books. They don't take that long to read.
So,
and the ending is amazing.
What would you say your favorite bad movie is?
I'm trying to think of more bad movies, like Tiptoes in the Room.
Those are paragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the works of Ed Wood? He's a Poughkeepsie boy.
Yeah. Now that's a very good one because, like again, well you know, our basic thesis, like, it has to have real passion behind the production of things. And yeah, there's, like, Ed Wood was nothing if not passionate about his work.
And he firmly believed that he was doing right. Like, I don't know how accurate the Tim Burton movie Ed Wood is.
Yes.
But if it's even a little bit accurate, he really did care about what he was doing. Like, what he did to get these movies produced was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you don't do that if you're just trying to shit out a bad movie. I know I'm going to digress a little bit. Apparently, Uwe Boll, is that his name? Is that what you pronounce?
Me? Yes.
Apparently, his bad video game movies are a tax dodge.
Oh, that makes sense.
I read a thing.
Yeah.
I guess what he's doing is, under German law, if a movie, like, tanks in the box office, the money that you put into it is tax deductible. And so, basically, he's doing the producers. Like, he wants to make bad movies. He knows what he's doing. He's intentionally throwing the fight.
Wow.
It's glorious. This is the same man who ranted because on Kickstarter, like, he couldn't get enough money. And so he's like, it's, like, profanity-laced. I will find it. I will link it. And he just screamed at, you know, at you, the fans, the viewers, the people who pay money.
Right, for not knowing better.
For not supporting him in his tax dodge.
So I was going to take a jab at Adam Sandler because, you know, his movies all seem to be just like I need an excuse. I ran out of money.
Yeah.
So I'll employ a bunch of my friends to make the worst piece of shit possible.
He admits it. Like, I'll try to find that. But he knows what he's doing. Like, he will go to an award show, like, in sweats.
Yeah.
Because he has a contract and he gets paid no matter what. He does not give a damn. So, yeah, he's like, I want to go to Hawaii. Let's go. And so I haven't seen Pixels.
Oh,
I don't think I'm going to see Pixels.
Yeah, every last thing I've heard about it is like it's
I'm
shit.
I'm going to see it when it's on Netflix, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and I think that is one of the things I like about bad movies is they bond people together and, oh my God, this is terrible. How did this get made?
Yeah.
And in fact, that's kind of the premise behind the podcast, isn't it? How did this get made?
Yeah.
Not our podcast. That one actually has a budget. And
yeah.
What other, like, Slither is a bad movie. It's,
you know, that's another one I haven't seen, but I want to because I've heard pretty good things about it.
Oh,
I haven't seen Slither.
Splice.
Slither's entertaining.
Yeah,
like, and Slither's just sort of trying to be, like, kind of schlocky. Like, it's entertaining for what it is. It's kind of like a gross out horror humor sort of.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for what it is, it's decent. Splice is definitely entertainingly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, it has that feel of, like, there is obviously an attempt to make an actual movie there. It's, yeah. It's just so bizarre.
Exactly.
Well, have you've both seen the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, right?
Yes.
I've also read the, like, Joss Whedon put out the Origin comic where you see how it was basically supposed to be. And I guess Donald Sutherland, I think, basically is like, no, I'm not doing it this way. Change the script there. I want this line different. This should be, like, funnier here, but, like, a stupider funny. And so I guess, like, stars very much change the end product. Like, you know, I'm the big star in this movie, so this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And so the Joss Whedon humor was pretty much taken out.
Yeah, because I remember it being, it was just a generic 90s comedy movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, there was really, to the point that I really didn't, like, I honestly believed that he had nothing to do with it. Joss Whedon, I mean, like, when the show came out.
Very little.
Yeah, I was, like, shocked.
I didn't know.
And thought that he took it over or something.
No, I didn't think it was comedic at all when I watched it. Except for the death scene, that was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not by comedic, I don't mean funny. I mean, like, it was standard 90s movie, or not 90s comedy movie hack bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
and to that point, like, Joss Whedon was not, like, a name you care about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I would not have been able to.
And so he didn't have the clout to be like, sit down, Donald Sutherland, you can be replaced.
Yeah. Who's Donald Sutherland?
Exactly. He was the Watcher, Merrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Merrick?
Merrick was the name of the Watcher.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no. See, I keep thinking of Kiefer Sutherland, who's a different person entirely.
Splice is funny.
Splice is funny, but it doesn't mean
to be. It's in a weirding
out
way.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
again, I don't know, because, you know, maybe there should have been storyboards, and they should have, like, had a 10-year-old be like, wait, why? Wait, what?
Right, this choice doesn't make sense.
Isn't that basically his daughter? And isn't she, like, a week old?
Yeah,
that's
so it's
gross.
It's still weird that he would have sex with it.
This was better when it was Species.
Maybe.
Right. Well, like
Species?
There was a movie called Species.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to watch this.
Which, like, the only reason I know it is because, like, I know H.R. Giger had, he did all the designs for it, and there's, like, a weird dream sequence that comes out of nowhere because he became super obsessed with the imagery of it and tried to get this, like whole mechanical, like, train thing working, and nothing worked because he wasn't there on set to, like, get it to work the way it was supposed to. And But Species 2 and 3, I believe, were so bad that he had his name taken off of them.
That's reasonable.
Yes.
I got sidetracked. What do you think about budget? Like, you can definitely make cheap, bad. Like, I think for a bad movie to be good, it has to have a higher budget, maybe. What do you think?
You know, I don't know, because I think one thing you also frequently see, like, even not even talking about, you know, good, bad movies, very often having a limitation of budget causes things to be way better than they would be otherwise.
That's what I mean. Like,
you
I think
more
you
effort
need
into
a
them.
Better, a higher budget, because like low budget bad movies are just bad.
Well, right, you're just laughing at the guy in the suit or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like,
there can be really good low budget movies. Like, I love Wreck was
Wreck
budget,
was amazing.
And that was amazing,
right.
And so was Low. Which is like a one-room movie. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Fine. I really liked
it. No, and you're welcome to really like it. I understand why you like Low.
But, so I think, like, for a bad movie to be
it needs
amazing, it kind of needs...
Because it
becomes
a
Ed Wood has low budget.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I like his
stock
footage thing.
Like, if Tiptoes were just no-name actors...
Yeah.
Would it be nearly as funny as seeing Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
So it needs enough budget to hang itself, essentially.
Yes!
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
Like, the room is like, if when you learn more about the background of Room, it gets more hilarious.
Yeah, because Tommy Wiseau definitely had some bizarre source of funding that let this movie keep going. Like, he was just giving people money.
And he basically, like, bought the cameras and they gave him the space to film basically so he wouldn't return them.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And, like, and he bought two, like, non-compatible cameras.
And oh, taped them together.
That's great.
He made a rig so they were just right next to each other.
And he, like, built his own bathroom, right?
Yes. Or something? He had his own private bathroom.
Like, it's so weird the amount of money that went into that.
And the horrible green screen on the roof. And then, I mean, this is from the disaster artist. But later on, he takes Greg Sestero to this factory he owns. And Greg Sestero's like, this is a beautiful view. This is the exact view that we just spent weeks using a green screen for. Why didn't we just do it on the roof of this factory that you own? And Tom was out like, no, that's, you don't understand.
You don't get the genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are not privy to the becoming.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, so there definitely has to be some bizarrety.
Like, bizarrety, I like
that. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Ed Wood has bizarrety with the stock footage and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I've only seen Plan 9 from Outer Space, I think.
Okay.
And that has, like, funny little bits.
Yeah, it
and
does.
How the guy, like, died halfway through the movie, right?
Yes, and so...
You mean Bela Lugosi?
Yeah.
The guy. And so filled in with his dentist.
Yeah, that's a great scene in the Tim Burton movie,
yeah.
where he just, like, happens to see the top of the guy's head.
Aww.
And it's like, oh my god,
it's uncanny. Yeah,
in the room, Mark wasn't originally Mark. Like, he actually hired someone, didn't he?
Yes. And then that person dropped out and he's like, good news, you're Mark now. He's like, no, I don't want to be.
He never asked for that.
No, he was just supposed to be like a PA or something. This is sort of connected, like, the idea that sometimes the movie, like, becomes what it wants to be. My example here is American Beauty, where if you know the original script, like, it was supposed to, the framing mechanism was supposed to be the trial of the creepy neighbor kid and the daughter. Because, obviously, from the footage he filmed, it seems like she was going to pay creepy neighbor boy to kill her dad.
Mm.
And then they're like, they filmed the whole thing, and, like, they kept having to drop plots. Alan Ball's like, no, well, that doesn't work anymore, like, in editing. And so then they have the voiceover where it's like, you know, this is basically the story of how I'm going to die in a year. And it's like, oh, that's so much more compelling. But the original script is kind of crappy. And then they cut the crappiness out.
It was like a horror or something.
No, it wasn't a horror.
Like a mystery? No.
Not really. Okay. Well, so more like a mystery, but it was definitely about, like, how the daughter is on trial.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I think she's convicted.
So it's kind of like Lolita, but bad.
I guess.
Yeah, I do remember that was one of those cases where, like the trailer definitely made me completely disinterested in it, because, like, at the time it hit, it seemed like everything was kind of playing up. They like, oh, an older man fucks a younger woman.
Yeah.
And then luckily, I was working at a video store at the time, and, like, we had this one weird older gentleman who watched movies, and he'd happened to recommend a couple of good ones. Oh, Fight Club. He recommended I watch Fight Club, and
nice.
It turned out to be really good. And then, you know, so I trusted him on that one, and, you know, it was actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if it holds up.
I've read Fight Club, the novel, a few times. And Chuck Palahniuk is very much like, oh, no, I like the ending of the movie way better. And I do, too.
Yeah.
Because in the book, he, like, not the bombs do not blow up. And then he ends up in, like, a mental hospital that he thinks is heaven, but it's run by the space monkeys. And so Project Mayhem is still going on.
Is that the book?
In the book, yes.
Oh.
Whereas in the movie, he locks hands with Marla Singer and says, you met me at a really very strange time in my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, then it became much better. And Chuck Palahniuk's like, yes, the whole book was really about how a man commits to a woman, or he becomes mature enough that he can commit to a relationship. I'm like, that's not what we really got from the book.
Right. Yeah, although I do like at least that he admitted, or, you know, was another of those authors who could accept that, you know, this other expression of his work was actually better or might have improved upon it.
So
oftentimes they don't, but
no. See American Psycho, which
pretty much every other movie based off a book.
Well, they're not always better.
No, I mean the movies are usually much worse than the book.
Yeah.
Oh no. See, I was saying the opposite. Like that was one of those rare cases where the author was able to accept that. Alternate depiction.
But very rarely, the alternate depiction is anywhere good and anywhere near.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. See, I was talking about the relationship between the author and the work, not. Because, yes, no,
what
I will agree.
What does J.K. Rowling feel about the movies? Like,
she can't hear you over all the money stuffed in her ears.
Yeah, but besides, I thought she was, like, sort of involved.
Like, she was involved.
Yeah, she was.
To a high extent. So.
And I know that she, like, took important actors aside and was like, listen, here's what's going to happen through the rest of the series.
Right.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Fucking Alan Rickman killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that easily could have been bad. And I know they cut stuff out because you have to cut stuff out.
Right,
and you can definitely make a bad movie that way.
Yeah. There are definitely parts of the movies that I didn't like compared to the books.
Yeah.
I still have not read the books, but
shockingly, book Harry Potter is different. Like, he's snarkier. He has, like, more of a character to him.
He's not
like,
worthless.
There's this whole scene, exactly. Like, it cuts things out. Like, okay. In the one that Sirius dies is the main one that I hate. So Sirius dies, and in the end of the book, Harry flips out. Like, he smashes everything in Dumbledore's office. He breaks the talking mirror. The talking mirror does not exist in the movie. And, like, the talking mirror is super important to me because, basically, he could have talked to Sirius through this, and it would have the end of the book wouldn't have happened that way. But no, instead he was like, I'm going to use the flu network. Oh, look, the house elf lied to me. I'm going to go get Sirius killed by Voldemort. So basically, in the book, Harry flips his shit and destroys everything in Dumbledore's office, and it was awesome. In the movie, he just sits there. And Dumbledore's like, do you want to talk or something? And he's just like, humph.
Okay.
There's like no awesome breaking everything Dumbledore's office scene. Also, I didn't like the color palette sometimes. Sorry about my tiny rant and my Harry Potter rant.
All learned.
Yeah, now we know. I do think that it's easy to take source material, a video game, a book, and make a terrible movie of it.
Yeah, well, especially if you're not trying to even understand what the source material was.
Yeah.
Which,
Did you mean Super Mario Brothers?
Sure.
Speaking of John Leguizamo.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Oh, God.
That's awesome.
You watched it since
for the
you
wrong
were five?
Reasons.
I didn't watch it when I was little. That's a really weird one, right?
Dennis Hopper?
Is
so weird. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So shouldn't it just be its own thing?
Yes. It has nothing, like, I wouldn't say it. Like, to me, it's like some weird alternate universe Mario.
Or a case of, like, you know, here's a script and it's close enough, so now the main character is Mario and Luigi instead of, you know, whoever.
I think it's awesome.
There's some guy who worked for NPR, and he wrote this really, like, touching script about Cuba during the Cold War, and, you know, it's really this passionate, serious, deep script, and eventually it did get made as Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights, and he's like, I don't know how that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's like, but that's how Hollywood works, like, his script was bought and shelved, and they're like, well, We gotta make something. What if we make this Dirty Dancing 2?
Yeah.
And what if we change literally everything about it?
Yep. Saw 2 was a completely different script or movie. It was going to be its own thing entirely, but they needed a Saw 2, so they repurposed it.
And then, of course, we have World War Z, where you take amazing source material and you just stick the title on unsold zombie script 17.
Right, which...
It would be so cool if they actually made a World War Z actual movie.
A real,
or like a mini series.
Yeah.
narrated by Ken Burns. Like, make it as serious as possible.
Get on it, IFC.
That would be beautiful.
Or Netflix.
Except now they can't, because I'm sure
they
that Zach
use a different title.
I'm sure Zach Brooks can't. Like, yeah, he sold it.
Yeah, and much like Spider-Man, he'll probably never get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Spider-Man.
And it can't be like an Avatar versus The Last Airbender thing. Like, it's just a title change.
Yeah.
Because that was what was weird, because I like Avatar The Last Airbender. And then Avatar came out, and then so they had to name it The Last Airbender. Which was also a horrible movie, but...
I don't think there was a movie.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Yeah, they didn't make a movie of that.
Yeah, no. You're,
I don't
you're...
remember what you.
There was a hoax. There was a really elaborate hoax.
Yeah, and I mean,
like they went so far as to release it in theaters, like for that one day. But that, no, that was a joke. That was
Amber. You could tell because the entire cast was white people, except the bad guys. The bad guys were Indian or Pakistani.
And they pronounced the names funny too.
Yeah, they pronounced everything funny.
Which is, but you have the show.
I know!
But they wanted to reference the source material.
Wait, but the source... No.
The source country.
Yeah, that is what M. Night Shyamalan said.
I guess.
No, not acceptable. M. Night Shyamalan, you stop.
Could you call it World War III? I don't know.
No, there. I mean, you could do small zombie change. Add a subtitle, add a super title. I don't know. There would be things you could do.
World War Z, the actual movie.
Or call it The Zombie Survival Guide.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something. He has that title.
Right.
Oh, he wrote the Zombie Survival Guide?
Yeah.
You've never read it? No.
Oh, it's great because Chronicles it has a lot more about how the virus started. Like, it has historical times that there have been outbreaks.
So it's in the same world?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like the last, I don't know how long it is, but like the last many pages are like the history of the Solarium virus.
That reminds me, I still have your copy of that and I haven't read it yet. I'll have to get on
World War Z?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is one of my favorite books. Yeah. And it could have been, again, I think, a brilliant miniseries.
And I think the most terrifying thing in that book to me is North Korea.
Yes.
Basically, everyone slowly disappeared underground. And they don't know if, you know, are they just underground living, being North Korea? Or if you dig in the wrong place, are you going to end up with a horde of zombies again?
Or like, there was no difference between the two.
True.
I'm sorry, citizens of Best Korea. I feel for you, but...
That's the scariest part to me. But so it's best. I'm going to have to read that. There's going to be a zombie cat camp at our library nearby.
Yeah. A zombie cat?
Camp.
Those are terrifying.
Yeah, they would mess everything up. Be like, I want to pet the ugly kitty.
Yeah.
Aww.
God, I remember, I still don't know the name of the movie, but I remember being like just terrorized by this like late night, not Cinemax. What was the other one? There were like two or three big cable movies, but it was so the premise is there's like a demonic cat, like a black cat. It's this big animatronic, like, you know, it must be laughable now, but it was kind of horrifying at the time. And I think it's loose on a cruise ship maybe and just slaughtering people. And
speaking of black cats,
yeah,
have you read the Poe story?
Yes.
Yeah, that one freaked me out a lot too. Like, out of all the stories, that was the one that freaked me out.
I think it's impossible to make a Kurt Vonnegut movie that is not bad. Because they've tried.
Kurt Vonnegut?
You Get Out!
No, which one is it? Tell me.
Sirens of Titan, Cat's Cradle, Ice Nine. Okay.
Kurt
Vonnegut.
Okay, I was confused because I was like, I was thinking in the movie?
No.
Genre, but it's a book author.
Yes, but they've tried to make his movies of his books several times, and they're all terrible.
Wow.
I know there are some authors who were like, no, I will not let you make any... Like, J.D. Salinger said, absolutely not. No one can ever make a movie of this. I think someone made a movie of, like, Uncle... I forget what it is. But one of his short stories, and he's like, well, that was terrible. You can never, ever do this again, Hollywood. You're bad at this. And so that is why we have the Royal Tenenbaums, because that's the closest we're getting to a Glass Family movie. It's like, no, it's not at all J.D. Salinger.
Wait, what?
The Royal Tenenbaums. Is like the Glass family from J.D. Salinger's works.
Oh, cool. I haven't.
It's a family of geniuses.
Oh.
It's, and Royal Tenenbaums is one of my favorite movies.
Good.
Because I like Wes Anderson.
But what if Wes Anderson tried to do more Kurt Vonnegut movies?
He could do it. I would allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I think he could handle it. I know they tried putting out, I think, Breakfast of Champions starring Bruce Willis. I did not see it, but I heard it was terrible.
Unfortunately, like even Bruce Willis now is such a punchline. Like,
I know.
Just saying that line immediately makes it impossible for that to be good.
So you know what movie probably someone has already written a script for, and if they ever make it, would be absolutely horrible?
What?
A live-action Calvin and Hobbes.
No, that will never. Bill Watterson will never let that happen.
I know, but I'm sure someone's written it and is like waiting to somehow for him to die and like,
and no,
get the rights to it somehow.
That'll be way worse than
it'd
the
be
Watchmen.
So bad.
To call a watch, whatever the Harper Lee thing is, where it's
like,
no, she's blind and deaf and in a wheelchair. She totally wants this book published.
Yeah,
but someone like you can imagine people wanting to do that.
He will tattoo "Do not make movie." On his chest, like a D, do not resuscitate.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think he, like, if, because of how protective he is, I'm pretty sure his will is going to be airtight on that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because, I mean, he hasn't even allowed internet stuff to exist for the longest time.
Except he did some webcomic.
Yeah.
Our author's like, can we collaborate or something? He's like, oh, yeah, totally. I like your comic. Wait, really? I think it was Pearls Before Swine, maybe?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of those cases where I considered it a tragedy that he didn't understand how the internet worked and wouldn't use it as a medium for his stuff. But I also, like, after the way Calvin's been mishandled by all the bootleg bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect it.
I want to been rereading it. I should figure out where I was and start again.
Have you ever read Bacon and Something? The fan comic?
It's
sweet.
Adorable.
It's mind-blowing. Yes. Yeah. Like, I remember...
read more of it.
There isn't very much. There's
two
panels, maybe. It's sort of like a proof of concept sort of thing that, like... I don't think it originated on 4chan, but I definitely... The first time I came across it was, like, a big nostalgia thread.
Mm.
Yeah. I do think, like, we have seen people, we still see people trying to reboot things from our childhood.
Yeah.
And I think that, first of all, those movies aren't for us anymore. They're for children.
Right.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is not for me. It is for 10-year-olds.
No, although,
but they're trying to make them to cater to both audiences.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's simultaneously, it's not really for those 10-year-olds because they're not going to give a shit, but it is for... It's for their parents who are going to bring the 10-year-olds to try to make them give a shit.
And it's so...
Hopefully it's so bad that they won't. Because, strangely, like, the original 90s version, like, of the first movie, it's way better. It's still dumb as hell, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what, like, if I had a child and wanted to show it, like, television or whatever from when I was younger, I would show it the television from when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's not like I can't get it.
No,
it's
the
not
problem
like
there is that
it.
Like a lot of it just doesn't hold up anymore. But...
Yeah, but a kid isn't necessarily going to notice that.
I don't know. Like I know, you know, we have the whole thing where, you know, your child brain fixes a lot of errors, so you know, He-Man isn't super stupid, but like things for kids are way more sophisticated now and kids pick up on nuance a lot more and I think it's harder to
It depends on what you're watching, because there's a lot of crap.
Oh, there definitely is, there's still, like, you know, like, I don't think it would be possible to get kids, unless they're, like, super young, into Hanna-Barbera cartoons now, because they're so bad. Like, the animation is so cheap that,
they
expect more.
Gargoyles.
Right. Oh, Gargoyles. Yes, Gargoyles probably holds up fairly well.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that...
In the original My Little Pony.
One of the reasons... I don't know about that one. I can't agree with you there. Something like Gargoyles, they sort of set out, like, here is the show we want to make. We're really not going to compromise on this. Whereas, there are definitely a lot of shows where it's like, we want to put out as much merchandise crap as possible.
Yeah.
So we're going to water this and dumb this down as much as we can. So you will buy this show and you will go buy our plastic crap.
Yep.
Right. So, and so... very rarely you'll get a Gundam, which accidentally has like a deep storyline and the horrors of war.
That's what is so weird to me, that there are TV shows that are entirely purposed to sell toys.
Well, you mentioned He-Man.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
He mentioned He-Man.
Yeah. He-Man, like, literally served no other purpose. It just the dumbest crap possible.
I mean, My Little Pony is like that, too, but it's better. But, yeah. Like, sometimes they have to, like, base storylines around the fact that they want to put out this new line of toys.
Yes. Right. Oh, well, yes. Now they have wings. And we've just created class divide and won't address it.
And I think
they had wings in the original My Little Pony.
Okay. Right, but I don't think they started. No, the first ones didn't start with that, I don't think. Like,
no, yeah.
That was another product.
No, it was in the first episode, like the first My Little Pony movie, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Firefly has wings. She flew to the human world and stole a human, basically, and that's the plot of the first episode.
Well, then.
There are humans in the original My Little Pony. There aren't any more in the new ones.
But speaking of compromising vision, which is where I was going to go with that, we just watched an episode of My Little Pony that was nothing. It was like fan service, the episode.
Yeah.
It was actually like, I don't know. You know Buffy. Do you know Buffy? Did you watch Buffy?
No, we discussed this. I did, but I didn't. I wasn't devout.
Okay.
And I gave up like right around the time that she started like having sex with Spike.
Oh, aww. So this was actually before that. There was an episode called The Zeppo, and the entire thing is from Xander's perspective. Xander's dealing with, like, some minor zombie issues, while the rest of the crew that sees him as basically useless is dealing with, like, closing the hell mouth and there's this big monster. So the entire episode is from, like, this secondary character's perspective, and it's, like, a funny episode. The same thing, it's like, oh, what? Which ponies... does the internet really care about? The one that's clearly Doctor Who and Derpy Hooves. And so it's an entire plot between all of them. And then you see, like...
donkeys.
And then you see, like, the main ponies, like, fighting a big monster in the background. But everything else is just gravitating around fan service the pony.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, the Skrillex pony... it's gonna compose some music.
Of course there's a Skrillex pony.
Oh, there is. I don't know if it's supposed to be Skrillex, but it's Skrillex.
I wouldn't even be shocked if it was actually voiced by Skrillex either. Like.
No, I think it's a girl pony. And they even encounter, like, the Dr. Hooves pony encounters Big Lebowski ponies. And I'm just like, what is the point of this episode? And the point of the episode is like, internet, you like this, right? Wink, wink. Right. I see what we did there, right?
Uh-huh. And Doctor Who gets a fourth Doctor scarf and says Alonzi.
Yeah, it's just completely obvious. Because that's what the internet wanted. And giving the internet what it wants gives us things like Snake on a Plane. We're like, we have to reshoot. Mm-hmm. So he says, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking plane.
Wait, they had to reshoot it for that line?
Yes, because the internet's like, I bet Samuel L. Jackson will say this. They're like, he will now. And I don't give us what we say we want. Give us what we need.
Yeah, because
Heroes. Yes. Did you watch Heroes?
I like that.
I watched the first, like, I watched a good chunk of the first season with
you guys.
That's
all you need to say. Yeah, because originally the premise, which is a brilliant premise, is like, each season will deal with a different set of superpowered people dealing with their own issues. And then they're like, no, the internet likes the cheerleader and Siler, the villain, and the Petrelli brothers. Let us make everything about them. And it became convoluted. It's like, we're brothers now. We were never brothers. What if I'm the villain? What if you're the villain? What if I'm a hero now? I have too many powers. Now I have no powers. Now I have many powers. Now we time travel? And it gets so beyond ridiculous immediately into the second season. Then it goes on, and the fourth season's like, there's a circus of superpowered people. And then they're going to destroy the Earth. And it's just so dumb because they compromised their vision. And so they made something that was not remotely entertaining.
Yep.
I watched it out of obligation so I'd have something to talk to. It was like how people sometimes watch sports so they can bond with their parents. I watched Heroes so I could have something to talk to my father about.
Well, see, you should have just been raised as an only child who didn't like people, like me, and then you wouldn't have to deal with any of that shit, because your cat doesn't care.
Aww.
And a lot of things don't exist for any artistic reason. You had no central conceit when you came up with this. You just wanted money.
Yeah.
And you know, no one went poor underestimating the American public.
No, and the unfortunate thing, of course, is that, like, it's not even that people like the shit that they're shoveled. It's just that that's all they have access to. Because, like, there are mechanisms in place to shovel that shit in a wide enough swath that that's all you get.
Yeah. Pretty much every Chuck Lorre show I think you're talking about right now.
Probably.
Big Bang Theory, 2.5 Men.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, Big Bang Theory was, like, one of, I've never watched an episode, but I was there to see like the arc of it play out over time, where like it starts off and people are like, oh, it's kind of smart, and then slowly people catch on to like, wait, no, it's
they hate
it's
us
just pretending to be smart, right? And it doesn't understand anything. And
yeah,
that's the one with the guy
Bazinga.
Yeah. I watched a couple episodes.
Did you ever watch it without the laugh track? That is a special level of awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can watch some videos of it, and they, like, play, and they just take out the laugh track. So, you know, something, something, reference, and then silence as they all look at each other. Oh, Sheldon. Something, something, Sheldon.
Wait, so is it an actual laugh track, or is it a live studio
audience? Oh, no, it's always a laugh track. I don't know if live studio audiences have anymore, other than for, like, talk shows.
And even when you do have a live studio audience, there's still a laugh track. To tell you that you're supposed to laugh at that.
Yeah.
Right. There's a sign, and suddenly you'll hear laughter that's not
there. There's a sign.
Did you know?
I didn't know there was fake laughter.
No, there's fake laughter. Did you know that the laugh track you hear was recorded in the 50s, and so all those people are dead?
Right, they're ghosts.
All dead.
They're all dead now.
They're not all dead.
They're probably all dead.
They're like 60.
You can summon their spirits.
They're like 60 or 70.
If we recorded adults in the 50s.
Oh, they're adults.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. How it depends.
It is the laughter of the dead, Amber. Admit it.
The haunted dead.
I'm sure. Well, they're probably all dead. I'm sure, like.
Well, no, they're definitely dead, and they're coming for you in the night.
Amber, well, like, if you found out that you were forced to laugh at Big Bang Theory, wouldn't you rather be dead?
But, I mean, let's say they were, like, 20 when it was recorded.
It doesn't matter, Amber.
Then they're like...
You're ruining my joke. You're like really belaboring 85. The point. You want to write for Chuck Lorre?
What?
Can make it happen.
I was saying that you were ruining my joke. You were belaboring the point. Yeah. But...
I'd write for whoever.
Yeah, I know,
me
too.
It'd be hilarious.
Alright, I don't... You both know this, but you listeners may not. That after my first book came out, they were trying to contract the rights to make, like, a TV movie on Sci-Fi Channel. And I'm like, they're going to make it terrible. And I had to think, I'm okay with that. I really am. I'm totally fine with them making this completely terrible. Because then people would be like, you know what's so much better than the Wee Shadows miniseries on Sci-Fi Channel? The book.
Yep.
Because that's sort of what you do. Like, I don't think you really watch the movie. I don't watch a movie and be like, well, that book must be terrible.
Yep.
I almost would be like, how can a book have been that bad? Oh, look, it wasn't. I know Ursula K. Le Guin, is that her name?
Yes, yes.
Her Earthsea trilogy, they made, like, a TV series out of it. And even she's like, why is everybody white? Nobody in my book is white.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, I'm kind of shocked that they would make anything of hers. Like,
yeah.
Or even try to, because, like, you would have to do so much retconning and
it, you know, it's very much like we bought the title, so we're going to do what we want.
Starship Troopers.
Yes.
What if they do that? What if they just take your title and just snap it on some, like, completely irrelevant,
and
like,
sci-fi? Is my name on the check?
Yeah.
If my name is on the check, Amber, I'm totally fine with
that. I'm still a little bit sad. Oh, wait. You see, I might have zoned out for a second. Were you talking about the sci-fi thing that almost happened?
Yeah.
Man, I think your work would have been perfect for that.
I agree.
Like, it really would have.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're talking to you, Sci-Fi Channel. You should be making Tom's books into bad movies.
Just look how sexy the girl on the cover is. You can see both her breasts and her ass at the same time.
That's right. You could do it all anime style if you needed to.
Please don't.
Get the Gainax, like, super jiggle.
I'll even act in it for mostly free.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Mostly free means you have to travel me to wherever you need to travel me, and house me wherever you need to house me, and feed me. If I can bring a goat, that'd be nice.
I was about to make a joke about how would they have to marry you then, but we were already mean to you once tonight.
Yeah, we felt bad.
I'm already married.
Yeah. So, who would you be in the Sci-Fi Channel series?
I don't know. Who do you want me to be?
I don't know. Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
You can't be Rosalind.
Yeah, as I say, be honest. You know who you want to be, but you can't.
Oh, I shall be Dryden.
Yeah. I accept that. And I
want to be Elliot.
I want you to... Well, actually, I don't know who's taller. But anyway, we could do the Tom Cruise thing of putting you in...
You want Elliot to be taller?
No, I'm saying that we're going to do the Tom Cruise thing of putting you in a box.
Ah.
Or giving you heels like they do with Robert Downey Jr. He has, like, great platforms because he's much shorter than you would think.
Which I think would have been perfect for his character if they just let him be short.
Right, I have no issue with that, but the American public does. Because we're very stupid.
Well, to some extent, it would just be hard to shoot, but, like, one person is, like, significantly shorter than everyone else, like, then he wouldn't be in frame.
Well, Speaking of our wedding video. Yeah.
Right, we can squeeze in, like, some quick movie reviews.
Okay.
Mission Impossible, whatever.
I don't remember seeing that.
The 20th.
I don't recall that. What?
Yeah, no.
Did we see Fast and Furious 8?
He wanted to be friends with his daughter.
Who did?
He wanted to hang out with his daughter.
Wait, I don't remember that.
That was Ant-Man.
Oh no! I thought you were talking about actual Tom Cruise, who's apparently trying to leave Scientology to hang out with his daughter, which is way more entertaining than the plot of.
What was the plot of Mission Impossible? Then?
There's punching and then flying and then like some stupid guy.
Simon Pegg wears glasses and then he can hear Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and then at some point, like, a dude gets trapped in a box, but it doesn't make sense because the box just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and they gas him.
Yeah, it's really anticlimactic for a villain thing, and then it's just over.
And then there's Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah. I'm struggling to remember this movie because it just passed through me.
And it kind of blends in a little bit with Ant-Man. It has similar shooting like styles.
Yeah, there's punching in both of them.
At least Ant-Man was entertaining because most of the big violent scenes there was miniaturization.
If Ant-Man had any flaws,
Ant-Man with I confuse what happened in Mission Impossible with plots from Ant-Man.
Which I could see.
What I did like in Ant-Man is how they definitely have the trope of like, here's the obviously qualified person who's now going to teach the unqualified person and he'll eventually be better than her, and he really wasn't.
And
I was irritated that they hooked up at the end because I didn't feel that was necessary.
Line was hilarious
though.
Like, oh, why are you doing this, you're full of shit, whatever his name is. Yep. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was entertaining. It did not justify them hooking up because they didn't really have chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, that might have been fine for the second movie if they'd actually, you know, decided to play that up. But I did still like it better than, you know, oh, he's going to get back with his ex because I'm kind of tired of
seeing that.
There
was never a plot.
I liked Judy Greer so much. Yeah. And I feel like we've seen two movies this summer that have not utilized her appropriately.
Yeah.
What other movie was she in?
Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
Who was she?
She was the mother. She was the mother.
Oh, right, so she barely... Yeah, she just showed up periodically on the screen.
I feel bad, but I feel like maybe Hollywood's decided she's too old or something.
Oh, did she?
She's so entertaining!
But she might have had her last fuckable day.
She might have had her last fuckable day.
Basically put her in both, you know, mother roles, not fuckable roles.
Yeah, watch the Amy Schumer short. It's hilarious and sad.
Hollywood, just give her to me. And I will find a way to use her. That sounded way more sexual than I meant it.
Sorry, Judy.
Yeah, Judy Greer, though, call me.
He's very happily married, so don't worry. It won't get weird.
Oh, initially. It'll get weird.
Yeah, I mean, I might, but that's
You should meet my friend Daniel. Have you met Daniel? You should meet Daniel. I don't know what Judy Greer's relationship status is right now.
No, it's all right. I don't.
She's awesome, though.
I wouldn't do that to her.
She's married with a kid in various movies.
Okay, but she's probably... I don't know. So...
And dead, right?
What?
You know what? It's funny you should mention that, because she was in Tomorrowland, and I didn't realize it. She was the mother in Tomorrowland.
Yes, that's what
And
it
I'm
was.
Like, Judy Greer was in this movie? Who was Judy... Who was that character? Wait, why did you use Judy Greer there? It could have been a hand puppet, and I would not have seen the difference.
Yep.
I don't even think we see her face.
Wow.
I think you see her face.
Barely. Like she's barely in the movie, and I'm like, why are you underutilized? I'm glad she's in movies, but why are you underutilizing Judy Greer?
Maybe because everyone wanted her to be in their movie, so she was in a whole bunch of movies, but only for like 5 minutes.
I mean, she's just like Jude Law. You know, Jude Law was in every movie a couple years ago.
That looks like a water plant in China.
Oh. Okay.
That's weird.
Do we have anything else to say?
So Ant-Man was funny.
Yeah.
Especially when they did miniature action sequences.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, its only real flaw is that it didn't commit to being funny enough. Like, it clearly wanted to be a full-on comedy, and they tried to shoehorn in comedy stuff. And
I agree.
Well, I think that might also be because they want people to see Deadpool.
Wait, what?
They're different kinds of humor.
Oh, yes, no, completely different.
Well, no, I know, but, I don't know. Like, maybe it's because they're like, well, we're already having a comedy one coming out. We can't make this one all comedy.
But two completely different things. Like, so completely different.
No, I agree, they're very different, but I could see them
I do have to say, that. Now that we're getting a Deadpool movie, I do want there to be Spider-Man in this universe. Because I know Deadpool loves to irritate Spider-Man.
Yes. Incidentally, we briefly watched the Deadpool trailer before this. And I'm shocked that I'm on board.
We laughed at the trailer.
Yeah, because the video game came out and it was like a sexist piece of shit. Like it was just totally dumb. And
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to find a playthrough and I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, I mean, no, they went, I don't know. It's another one of those cases where somebody who... It's like, oh, I don't know, tits are funny, right? So let's just do that. And then fart tits. And then, yeah. But this actually looks like it's nuanced and smart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
It's a little crude, but...
Well, yeah, no, but...
Or the trailer, too.
Right,
yeah.
But
And he good. Even, does the whole Deadpool thing of, I'm aware of things outside of the context of this. If you're giving me a super suit, just don't make it green or animated. Because Deadpool, the Joker, which is a different universe, is sort of aware that he's in a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, which actually reminds me of... So, the Arkham Knight game, I don't think you'll play it, but definitely watch a playthrough.
Okay.
Because, holy shit, they did some stupid plot stuff, but, man, the Joker is so good.
Cool.
So good. That's all I'll say about that. Cause,
and, I mean, it's the only chance I'm going to get to see a good Joker for a long time.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I'm not hopeful about that, given that the Joker looks like he could be a generic thug in this.
A Juggalo is how I've seen him.
Oh,
inspired.
God,
that's
he's
that's
a
exactly
Juggalo.
I think he's fun, but I do see Juggalo.
The Joker's a special kind of creature. He's not just
super easy to get wrong.
Is Harley Quinn in the cartoon blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Yeah,
I think
I swear she was a brunette when I saw it.
No, all right,
Is she brunette when she's in her costume sometimes?
See, you don't always see her hair in her costume.
Yeah.
Because you just see it's the hood with red and black.
Yeah, yeah, she doesn't. But
maybe that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure she's blonde. Because
yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And she originated in Batman the Animated Series, and they're like, wow, this is a cool character.
Oh.
She's canon now, put her in the comic.
Yeah, talking about things that hold up, definitely if you haven't caught the original Warner Brothers series, Batman the Animated Series, give it a shot.
Well, and I think, I was going to say, I think that, there's a big chasm between, I'm a creator, I'm an artist, here's what I want to be, and I'm a soulless corporate shell.
Right.
I want to make money. Could we have Batman mention, this breakfast cereal? Can we just... All that plot and darkness, can we take that away? And can he be riding a Pegasus pony now?
Right.
If you will let the corporate side just do their thing, they will just hollow it out.
So for them, it's just a vehicle for the making of more money.
And I mean, I understand, if you let the creators just go off, we will create some impenetrable David Lynchian bullshit.
Yeah. But, well,
and so it's the dance. Okay, but the dance should definitely be led by the creator and not by the corporate chill.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are just whores like I am. So, like, oh, you want to make my intellectual property terrible, but you'll give me a paycheck? Oh, right. Yeah, let me just sign that.
I do think it depends on, like if, because in your case, like, them doing that wouldn't really stop you from making the thing you want to make, because you're primarily making, you know, your books. That would just give you the ability to write more books better.
I agree.
But it is worth noting that, like, the reason, you know, the models of our current content distribution stuff, like, they do not work, and you can see that just by, like, whenever people freak out about things, it's almost always the cool independent thing that was made, or the thing that was made that nobody thought anyone would give a shit about, like Guardians of the Galaxy. It caught everyone off guard because it was...
It sounds so dumb.
It really does.
But then you cry about a raccoon in a tree.
Right. But it also, like, it wasn't the model. Like, it wasn't the Avengers at all.
Yeah.
Could have been, but yeah. And, like, and then again, you know, the reason Avengers 2 didn't really do that well is because it was the formula again. Like, it didn't...
Yeah, we knew what to expect. There were no surprises there.
Right. At this point, we do expect something more from it because we were caught off guard the first time with, you know, how they did it. So, I don't know. I don't remember what... I was probably just going to rant again about how, like, you know, content distribution being in the hands of the creators is probably ultimately better, but...
Yeah, I just watched a video. I can't remember the name of this movie, but... This guy who had a practical effects studio was like, hey, you know what? I would much rather make a practical effects horror movie. So, Kickstarter, help me out. And the whole video is like, this is way harder, like, than just getting money from a studio. Like, this sucks.
Right.
Like, we had to spend half our time just appeasing Kickstarter. Like, we got $300,000. I don't really know if that's the figure. Of which we actually got $200,000 because, you know, some went to Google, some went to Kickstarter. Then we have to spend all this money sending out rewards. And then we have to write in roles for people in our movie as part of the, like, swag you get. Like, for $10,000, they would kill you in the movie and you got to keep the dummy.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, diminishing rewards from that. But that is, like, the whole thing of, like, you know, we're you have to figure out
your rewards
can what you want to do, or is what you want to do, can it fit within this model?
Yeah. And they throw a little bit of shade toward the Veronica Mars movie, which they're like, oh, you know, we want to be really independent like Veronica Mars. And it turns out, no, that was done by a studio. Studio is like, let's just get people to fund it so we don't have to fund it. But it was not independent at all.
Right.
Because there's no way that they would have had the intellectual property rights to do that. But the studio did. So the studio set it up, made this viral thing, and we were all played. And it's an okay movie. I enjoyed the movie.
And now that sort of thing is like, it's gotten to the point where it's commonplace enough that the studios aren't even worried about people finding out anymore. They just straight up do it. Like Sony did the thing with Shenmue, where they're like, oh, well, you could make a third one if you crowdfund it, because we don't want to spend money on it. We'll still get all the profits, but, you know.
Who do I give money to get another Mother game? Like, I have pockets here.
Yeah.
I know a fan one's coming out. I would like one with, like, awesome graphics. I would like one for, like, an Xbox or a PlayStation. Or a Wii. I'm fine with a Wii. I guess it is a Nintendo game.
What about
a
Steam Box? Like, actually...
Oh my god! Who do I give money to? I want a Steam Box one of that.
Yeah, because, like... Well, actually, I mean, that is good for me, since I jumped ship and I'm PC Master Race only now. But a lot of stuff is kind of moving there. Like, I actually saw... there's actually a notable amount of JRPG-style games that are... decent quality, like not quite Square Enix level of you know, money spent on graphics, but definitely up there, like enough to be competition.
So it all comes down to money.
Yeah, well, resource distribution.
And if you're going to make a really good movie or a really bad movie that is also really good, you have to, like, have something surprising in it.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like anything has to have something different or something surprising. But that's why, like, you know, that would have existed in the room regardless, because like it was coming from this weird guy's perspective. Like his story was so bizarre that, you know, that infused
bizarrety. It. And if you had to actually appease a real studio, mm-hmm. there's no way that movie would exist. They'd be like, no, this is terrible.
But it might have gotten filmed, but it never would have been released.
No.
Like, unless he leaked it, that just would not have happened. And then you have Troll 2, which brings nothing to the table at all.
Right.
Incidentally, Troll 1, pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. For what it is, it's, you know, an entertaining enough movie.
Yeah. It's goofy, but again, like there's clearly somebody cared about the plot, right. And, you know.
Well, and I think Troll 2 definitely represents, like, a problem I see with, like let's make money. Like, I know that the same studio that you have to pre-sell things, they're like, we'd like a movie like Avengers, except with public domain characters. And yeah. So that's what they made. They right. made that movie.
Transmorphers. That was another yeah. thing I remember working in the video store before. Video stores used to be a thing where you could go in and it was like a library, but you temporarily rented, you know, movies. Sometimes VHS tapes,
so for real to reel.
Yeah, except you have to pay for it.
DVDs too now.
You had to pay for it. But yeah, like every. Never fail, whenever a new movie came out that was like a big release, you'd immediately have like 16 straight to video, like Tor-tanic, Titanic Huss, you know, weird little variations. And
lots of porn too.
I was gonna say, I saw Titanic 20,000
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Well, and there was apparently a really good Pirates of the Caribbean porn.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch that,
actually,
though.
Yeah, because it's like, I know that one because it's super high, like high budget and like super high definition, because that was like they had a slow, like a high speed camera. And
have we shot a 3D porn yet?
Oh, yes, of course they have.
House of 13 Erotic Ghosts, that's a 3D porn I saw.
Oh wow, that sounds amazing. But no, actually, I don't remember what website it was on, but I remember I had to turn off the 3D filter because it came up on its own.
Weird.
Which, yeah, because it was like, oh, this isn't 3D and HTML5 isn't supported on this, and it's like, that was not what I was looking for.
No.
That's not even a function I care or considered.
Man.
So yeah, so editing this is going to be fun. Good
yeah,
luck.
I know.
I don't think that's a statement that can be true.
But editing is very important. Going
because
back to our
because you could
top.
Make a movie either horrible or good.
Right. Like right. I definitely in editing this podcast see that, because there are times where I'm like, well, this should go in the beginning now. Like oftentimes I'm just cutting out ums and uhs and such. But other times I'm like, well, this doesn't really contribute to the whole thread. I'm going to cut this out. Here we're sexually harassing Christina. I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah. Oh, did we? Oh, yeah, probably. Probably.
Yeah. Our sex edition's really funny. If you haven't downloaded it, go back. I think it's like number 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wasn't it the last one that you put out?
Yeah.
I remember I listened to it when it popped up.
But now they'll know how far behind we are in posting these.
Yeah. Oh, that's normal.
Yeah,
that's
I think
normal.
This is like 17.
Yeah. Our three listeners aren't going to.
No,
you know,
they don't care.
At least they better not.
We said there was only one earlier, Daniel. Are we liars or are we liars?
All right.
Hey, so, call us out.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell us how many of you there are.
Right.
We've got Julia. We've got your mom. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. Matt might still
Matt
periodically
from
listen.
Duo.
Yeah.
Hannah may listen to them eventually. Hi,
right.
Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. Right. And porn blogs
not
on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, which Hannah?
Yeah.
Different
porn
Hannah.
Blogs on Tumblr. Because the last one I published had sex, so they all followed me on Tumblr.
But did they even bother listening to
no,
it?
They're not real people. They're robots.
Yeah.
We're teaching robots sexuality.
That is weird.
Maybe they won't fail where we have. It's in your hands, robots.
Maybe they will make a good bad movie for you.
Robot maybe they'll hunter. Learn what turns on pandas.
Oh, have I don't know why that reminded me, but have you seen Tesla's new like charging station?
Yes.
Was that the little little sneaky thing I saw?
Yes.
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 Sexy.
But, like, did the little door on your car open by itself, too?
I imagine it would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It got all wet for it, too.
Yeah, because, like, I'm sure they communicate, and it's all like, I'm going to pop your hatches, baby.
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, I'm empty for you. My charge is low. Maybe that's, like, the robot equivalent.
I'm shaking my head at you guys.
Because then it would, like, that's why it would need to. Yes.
Okay.
Q's in a pod.
Amber, final thoughts.
I want a Tesla.
Daniel, final thoughts.
Teslas are actually, like, very inefficient carbon footprint-wise because you have to build the whole thing, so it's actually still better to, like, buy an old car.
Can I convert it into an electric car?
Eventually, but then there's still the manufacturing problem because you're making new stuff rather than, I'm here to rain in your parade.
That's fine with me.
It is, like, you have to think of inherent energy. Like, if you look at something, and it's like, I could buy this super energy efficient version, or I could use this thing I have, even though the thing I have is like plastic.
Right.
Like, you should use the thing you have. Especially if it's for a good
generally,
goal.
Generally, like even a lot of vegans, like, will you know, utilize stuff that was made out of leather as long as it's, like, not new. Because it's better to utilize the thing that exists already.
Exactly. Like, I have a book that was talking, like, it's a permaculture book, and it actually talked about that concept. I'm like, that's great, because it's definitely something I've had trouble with. Because, like, wait, but I already have it, so I should just use it, even though technically it's not organic or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Final thoughts are so long.
Yeah,
Tom!
I was going to say that neither one of your final thoughts had anything to do with the topic.
Well, we talked about Teslas, so...
Teslas are great, except that they're not. But I like that we're moving in that direction.
Yes.
Now, if it could be more about the creators and less about money...
Mm-hmm.
But we need money. Like, you want something good like a Tesla, you gotta pay for it. You gotta pay for the infrastructure.
Except that we're in a other economy system, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, that's now starting our second podcast on resource distribution and the nature of money and
I think
the
that's
hell you
like
are.
I think that's an undercurrent of all of our podcasts.
It's true.
Yeah. Well,
I was editing a podcast today. We're like talking, and then we bring up capitalism. And then you pointed, it's like, wow, so we all could talk, and then we got to capitalism, and we all just got quiet and shook our heads.
Ruins everything.
Okay.
That's my final thought.
Capitalism ruins everything, but it sows the seeds of its own destruction.
Yes, it ruins itself also.
All right, say goodnight, comrade.
Goodnight, comrade.